Order. Pledge of Allegiance. Trustee Gary Criddle, can you please lead us?
Stand. Salute. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated.
Thank you. There was no action to announce out of closed session. Comments from board members. Trustee Hastie.
Welcome all, and welcome Dr. Asrani. Thank you.
Trustee Davis.
Yes, I wanted to welcome everybody back. And it's unfortunate we've had someone passed away at Cedar Lane, and we certainly hope that everybody's doing okay there. And we just think that it's one of those times where you can't be too careful with this COVID. Thank you.
Trustee Boom.
Welcome to Dr. Asrani. Thank you for being here and being our new superintendent. Look forward to working with you. Thank you, the public. Thank you for all for coming tonight. Glad to see that you take an interest in our community and your students or your children's education. I know there's a lot of contentious things going on politically, you know, with this COVID thing. It gets pretty nasty, pretty ugly at times. I don't believe that anybody should have anything forced on them, ever, as far as mandates. I just think that it's wrong. You know, you start having people tell you you have to get a shot, and to me, you've lost your sovereignty. So, I mean, I think that... Well, I believe that you're here because you want to know how your board members feel about things. And so I want people to stay safe. I want people to be safe. But on the other hand, we live in the United States of America, and I don't believe that things should be forced on people. So now you know where I stand.
Thank you, Trustee Doug Criddle.
First of all, Jeff took my speech.
Thank you. I hope everybody had a chance to vote, and appreciate all that you guys do vote. And thank you for all the emails and the phone calls. Keep them coming, please. Please do that. Thank you.
Trustee Gary Criddle.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. It's nice to see so many smiling faces out there. Everything has pretty much been said that I wanted to say. So, yes, my condolences to the family out in Cedar Lane right now. Take care of our firefighters, our first responders. That's it. Thank you.
Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Good evening. Sorry for the jingling. I forgot the load of keys that I had strapped to me. This evening, on behalf of the Marysville Unified Teachers Association, we would like to welcome our new superintendent, Dr. Asrani. We are very happy to have her, and we look forward to working collaboratively with the district and with yourself. So thank you for being here. Thank you for joining my hometown and a district and a community that I, along with the entire organization, hold near and dear. Additionally, I would also like to bring to the forefront an item from the agenda, which is the approval of a side letter between the district and the Teachers Association in regards to independent study. I would like to thank both the district and specifically Mr. Carrion in regards to the collaborative spirit in which that side letter came to be an agreement, a tentative agreement between us. I would also like to bring to the board's attention, though, that side letter on the district or on the teachers union end of things, we are hopeful that the board will begin to understand that we are doing everything in our power to try to convince the board that we want nothing more than to try to settle our negotiations for last year and for this year. That side letter in and of itself is going to save the district and employees of the district hundreds, if not thousands, of manpower hours in trying to come up with supplementals alone for teachers having done that. And so we came up with a unique way of doing things, a little different than most are, but it's going to save a lot of manpower, a lot of hours just in and of itself. It's also going to save the district hundreds of thousands of dollars. Your teachers that you are actively bargaining against are going to be saving you a sizable chunk of money with this side letter. If we were to continue down the path of having supplementals written up for each one of these, you would be well over millions of dollars by the end of this school year at the rate we're going. Right now, that stipend that is going to teachers accounts for about 37 hours of prep for student work. We have teachers in the district who have already done over 40 hours just since we've been in school. So we are hopeful that the district will, that the board will start to see that as the olive branch that is intended to be. And so along those lines, we continue to implore, request of the board, implore is probably the better word, that we do come to an agreement on our negotiations for last year and for this year. What we're asking for is fair. The cost of living for this year is at least 5.07%, and what we're asking for is less than that. One of the ways that the district has been able to amass the reserves that they have is because you have not been passing on COLA or cost of living adjustments to your employees. And just as a reminder, that's not exactly how you go about attracting and retaining high-quality educators. And so we want nothing more than to settle these negotiations. But we also need to make sure that we stand up for what's right and what's fair for our teachers and the educators in this district. Along those same lines, I'd also like to address another item that's on the agenda for this evening. The Marysville Unified Teachers Association would like to ask that the board this evening not approve a new position that is on the agenda, that of the instructional data coordinator. To begin with, the district has spent millions of dollars, and I don't use that term lightly, millions of dollars training your teachers and your site administrators and your district administrators on data. We've all been off to PLC conferences to the tunes of millions of dollars. We have had consultants come in here for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Your teachers now, your professional educators, are experienced, trained, highly qualified data collectors, data miners, and data facilitators. So we would ask that the board vote this down this evening. Especially along the lines of, if you look at the job description for this includes items that are on every job description for every teacher and every site administrator. We have to be experts in the field of data now. Additionally, the district is now abundantly staffed at the DO, and I will tell you that one of the best numbers people I've ever met in my life works in this very building right now and has helped us for years along these lines. I'd also like to show the board a piece of information that I fear you may have lost touch with. So I'm going to give you a piece of paper real quick. The paper that I just handed out to each of you is the salary schedule for the Marysville Unified Teachers Association. And I would just like to point out that the starting base salary for the new position that you're looking at this evening is more than twice that of a starting teacher in this district. And right now, the district is stalling us on negotiations over a salary increase that even with that salary increase, there's not a teacher in our district that could make the base salary. Just based on our salary schedule. Right now, if you look, a teacher in this district who has given 38 years of their life to this district, educating the youth of this community, could not, even with a bachelor's degree in 75 units, could not make the base salary for your new coordinator position at your district office. And in the midst of all of this, it also says that the money for that, at least for the first year, is going to come out of our COVID relief funds. These are the same COVID relief funds that the district is telling us that they don't have enough money to pay us what we're asking for last year. But you have the COVID relief funds for a new position at the district office? I would hope that the board this evening would look deep within themselves, and when this item comes up, please don't approve this. It comes off as being disrespectful and degrading to your teachers, and it comes off as not exactly setting a tone that we would like to have when we return to the bargaining table next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Operating Engineers Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association Number 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Unit. Public comments. Persons wishing to address the board are requested to fill out a public comment card before the start of the meeting and give it to the secretary, board president, or the superintendent. This is a regular board meeting. The public may address topics not on the agenda during this section of the agenda or as they be heard during a specific agenda item. Comments are limited to a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item per board bylaw 9323. The Ralph M. Brown Act prevents the Board of Trustees from responding to these comments with the exception of clarifying questions. The California Government Code Section 54954.2.A states, no action or discussion shall be undertaken on any item not appearing on the posted agenda, except that members of a legislative body or its staff may briefly respond to statements made or questions posed by persons exercising their public testimony rights under Section 54954.3. So we do have a number of public comment cards, and I briefly went through them, and it doesn't look like we have a variety of topics, so it doesn't look like we're going to run into the 20-minute time limit for any one topic that I foresee. Mr. Carrion, if you could kind of keep track to make sure if we run out of time for any one topic, if you could let us know. If we do happen to run beyond the 20-minute time limit, then we will keep your public comment card if you don't get to speak tonight, and you would be put first on the list for our next particular meeting. So, and the one thing I would ask also, and again, Russell, tonight we'll make sure we stop at zero when the time runs out. We do have a 3-minute clock that you can see here, and we'll see down here at the end of your 3 minutes. I will ask you to stop your presentation, and hopefully you can be respectful for that. Thank you. Our first public comment is Molly McKay. Molly, if you could come and then state your name for the record. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Molly McKay, and I'm fully vaccinated, so I'll take this off so you can see my shining face. First of all, I want to show you a sign that I took down from the right inside the door of our school. This has been by all the doors of all the schools in our district, and this policy has been in place for as long as I have worked here, that children must be up to date on their immunizations and have the record to prove it, or they're not allowed to come to school. So since we've been children, this has been the case. And right now, there is a disease ravaging our country called COVID-19. So there's no reason why people need to worry about, it's a safe and healthy vaccine. So people should be not feeling forced, but rather choosing to get vaccinated to protect the community, all of us. I know some people don't want to be protected, but the children at least, let's protect them, okay? So the masks, remember last time I came, I was talking about some of the protocols that we had the year before that protected our children. We were not getting positive cases at all in the number that we're getting this year when the drinking fountains were covered and when the children's temperature was taken as they entered each day and when they weren't sitting next to each other throwing their masks on top of each other's at the lunch table, which is what happens. I've tried to train my children to put their mask on the top of their lunch tray. They have to wear it into the cafeteria. But when they get into the table, they just toss it. They're young. They don't understand. So anyway, those were all protocols that we had in place last year that protected us. And I'm just really sad that people don't understand or decide to make this a political thing or about freedom. It's not about freedom. It's about protecting each other. It's a safe environment for our children. And I want you to know, there's also some teachers who have the same kind of mindset as many of the people here apparently have, and they go around flouting the policy where we are supposed to be wearing these when we are indoors, and they're not. That's right, you're saying that, but it's a policy. It's a school board policy that we wear these, and most of us do. I forget it's there. Anyway.
If we could be respectful, please.
Is it okay for people to badmouth me while I'm sharing? I don't think so. That's rude and disrespectful. And I guess that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And again, I would just like to ask the public, if you could be respectful, I think you would want folks to be respectful for your 3 minutes. So if you can be respectful from everyone else's, it would surely be appreciated. Next we have is Jerry Garrick. Garrick? Jerry?
Hi, thank you. I'm going to be speaking to you this evening. I spoke once a couple of meetings ago about the busing situation that's currently going on within the school district. I have a seventh grade student at Foothill Intermediate who has been in the past a bus rider and still does not have access to a bus route. I would like to talk to you a little bit about some of the things that have happened because of that. I was required to seek her own ride. I was required to check and see if the DMV printout was correct. And so my question to you about those are those reimbursable? Am I your HR department now? Am I required as a parent to run through these protocols to ensure that my child has access to her free and public education? That ride ended up getting COVID. She's a 24-year-old girl who has had COVID symptoms for 29 days now. So I was having to have, I am also a teacher. I teach in Butte County. And I'm fortunate enough to have a union and a district that supports me in my ability to change my work schedule so that I can get my child to school because I understand the importance of it. I have been told that it is a money issue, that you're having problems with retaining bus drivers or bus agents. So I did a little bit of research. Recently, Prop 98 was passed, and that gave you a historic $93.7 billion in education funding. As some of the other people have mentioned, within that was a guaranteed 5.07 COLA. It was built into the budget for that purpose. Because of that, Marysville Joint Unified School District was given $50 million in COVID funds. I believe from your budget that you put out, it says that the majority of it is not spent. There will be a presentation later in this evening about how much money is in the budget. And based on your audited reels, it shows that you have a $20 million surplus that does not include those COVID funds, plus $2.1 million in savings from transportation and other departments due directly to COVID-19. I'm assuming that's from lighting, gas, other kinds of expenses simply from having the building shut down. So the argument that you make that there is not the funding to make this happen is ridiculous. The money's there. I would also like to point out that it's been talked about on every radio show, news night that yes, there is a shortage right now in employees in a school district. Be competitive. Offer better salaries. I looked at your starting amount for a bus
attendant. Thank you very much. That is the end of your time.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Dennis Ruff. Dennis?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It has been many years since I've been in this building. I went to school here, and first of all, I'd like to thank you folks, because this campus, as old as it is, seems to be in spectacular condition. Thank you very much. Mr. Boom, I see you're taking notes. I appreciate that. That shows me that you're interested. I do not care about your politics. I care about the safety and education for our students in Yuba County. And at this time, we have a problem up in the foothills with busing. Our children up there cannot get to school. They cannot take classes online because they have terrible, terrible internet services. My granddaughter, we have to take her 12, 13 miles daily to and from school, 26 miles total, to get her the education that she deserves. And it seems to me, in the last couple of years, there has been no bus service up in that area. Without bus service, that means that you're not paying for fuel. Those are buses that you're not paying for maintenance. Those are buses that you're not paying for a driver. There must be a surplus of dollars to hire these individuals. I understand the starting rate, and perhaps I'm wrong, is a hair over $16 an hour. Well, folks, this is to get our children an education at a very good school, and $16 an hour isn't enough to attract people. Being a bus driver is not an easy job. Split shifts, you're not allowed to discipline kids anymore. So please, up the ante, offer incentives, dollars, to people that are willing to train and become a bus driver. It's very, very important to the kids up in Loma Rica and foothills. Folks down here in the valley, Ollie First Linda, they seem to have their buses. I don't understand the difference between the two, if it's safety for the children. Our children up in the foothills deserve to be safe as well. Anyway, Mr. Boom, sorry. This is not a political format. We are here, and these people are here for the health, well-being, and education of our children in Yuba County. And please, please keep that in mind. Yes,
just
sir.
One quick clarification question. What school is your granddaughter at?
Foothill in Loma Rica.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, she's 12 years old, 7th grade. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have Sandra Malo. Sandra?
Thank you, board members. I'm here to talk about vaccines and masks once again. And I want everyone to remember back in May 2020, Fauci stated, and I quote, "People should not be walking around in masks," end quote. This was a live video. Asymptomatic transmission has served the backbone of COVID guidelines, but has yet to be scientifically proven. In a Wuhan study of nearly 10 million participants, none of the 300 persons identified as potential asymptomatic carriers were found to be infectious. These findings are confirmed in the study of Journal Pediatrics, which shows most children acquire COVID from adults rather than from kids. It just amazes me at how you can go into a restaurant and sit down and then you can take your mask off, but a child in a classroom cannot do the same. It just amazes me. Why continue to deprive children of necessary oxygen? It's a false sense of security. And I am no way shaming people who prefer to wear a mask. School boards have a fiduciary duty to ensure each and every student in their district is protected, supported in the best manner possible. Are you really doing that? On 9/14, 2021, the Yuba County Board of Supervisors voted in favor of a resolution against vaccine mandates and mask mandates. You now have leadership from both counties making a public stand that they are forcing a person to take a vaccine or wear a mask. As I quote Supervisor Andy Vasquez, it's very important to leave it up to the parents. End quote. This resolution supports the right of parents to make that choice whether their child should be masked or vaccinated. They also disagree with the state's continued exercise of authority that is more properly exercised by local school boards. The time is now. The ball is in your court. No healthy adult or child should be injured or die from a vaccine imposed by them or their government. As an elected official, you realize that the next election cycle is always right around the corner. Your constituents will be watching closely to see what actions you take and don't take in the coming weeks. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Joanna Lasaga. Joanna?
All right, thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak. After my attendance at the last MJUSD board meeting, I walked away mind blown. In today's day and age and all the contentious things going on, whether you like politics or not, it's contentious. We actually have a board member who falls asleep, plays on his phone, and flat doesn't pay attention. All of this happened during the meeting where it was standing room only. I am beyond frustrated with the lack of seriousness that this board shows with regards to the importance of all of our children. The parents that place their children in the public school system, such as MJUSD, entrust that the school will protect them, and yet parents no longer feel this is the case. Politics have now superseded the importance of our children. I have sent an email to all of the board as well as spoken to the superintendent regarding this matter. As of yet, nothing has been done. Let's give the new super a break. I mean, she's been here, you know, a month, not even, right? But as a board member, what are you going to do to investigate this matter? None of you even had the courtesy to even reply to my email. Why? Because none of you wanted to deal with this matter. I understand it may be a touchy subject, but the children's education and what is happening at the board level are more important than feelings at this point. The lack of professionalism and attendance, obviously, from this member speaks volumes. It is time this board listens to what the parents are saying and that we are taken seriously. Need I remind each and every one of you board members that you work for us, the parents. The shenanigans of limiting us to 3 minutes shows nothing but a lack of respect for us parents. It is obvious that you don't want to listen to us. When you want to listen and give unlimited time to the teachers' union but not the parents, your actions are speaking louder than your words. We need board members who are actually interested in serving this board and interested in the best interest of the children. I've asked in the email that I sent to all of you, and I'm asking again for Frank Crawford's resignation.
Thank you, Joanna. Next, we have Amy Slade. Amy?
Good evening. A couple of weeks ago, I came here and presented a well-thought-out and researched speech about the dangers of testing our children for COVID and the detrimental effects that the mask wearing is having on them. Today, however, I come to you as a parent and a grandparent with a very heavy heart. My heart is heavy not only for my own children and grandchildren, but for all of the children whose parents are not paying attention and whose parents have become complacent and assuming that the government and our schools have their children's best interest at heart, which, no offense, we all know now is false, because if the kids really were the priority here, nobody with a soul would be enforcing such tyrannical nonsense. It is downright shameful what is happening to these babies. Their futures and their freedoms are systematically being stripped away one by one. I cannot put into words how heartbreaking it is to see these kids struggling. They're struggling to read and comprehend the basics. They're struggling to learn how to enunciate their words because they can't even see their teacher's face. They're struggling to connect with their peers the way that they should be because they're not allowed to. My granddaughter is a prime example. She's delayed socially, mentally, academically, emotionally, and I know without a doubt it's because she's muzzled all day. Thankful my senior in high school doesn't have that problem. I've watched her go from excitement for school to learning to fear. Fear of school. My granddaughter is afraid to go to school. She's afraid to forget her mask at home. What the hell are these teachers doing to our kids? What is the staff instilling in them? Children should not be afraid to go to school with an uncovered face. They shouldn't be afraid to go in public with a bare face. It's ridiculous, and it needs to stop. Now the schools want to shove things up their noses and stick needles in their arms. Haven't they been through enough? The trauma is too much. We have teachers telling kids that they don't have a choice and that they don't have to listen to their parents. There's a teacher right here on the MHS campus, and I won't name names, but he's handing out COVID vaccine packets to kids and telling them that it's going to be mandatory anyways. Their parents don't have to know, and they may as well go down and just get it taken care of right now, and it's bullshit, and I'm done. Noble. I am tired of this. I am heartbroken. I'm sad. I'm disgusted. I'm worried. I am genuinely concerned for the future of our children, and all of us in this room should be. And if you guys think this is okay, it's not. I don't know what world you're living in. Our children are not pawns in some game that you can just play with, period, okay? We've spoken. We're showing up. We're putting our foot down. We're done. We've been filing affidavits. Crawford, gone. Rasmussen, you're on the chopping block, honey. You guys better start listening to the parents because we're not playing games anymore. We the people have spoken, and you're on notice.
Thank you very much. Next we have is Jennifer Haggard. Jennifer?
Hello, and thank you for your time. The last week, I've sat down several times and started to put a speech together, and I can put together all the facts and everything that I can find, but you're not going to follow those anyway. I feel like there's already an agenda put in place that you guys are just going to follow blindly. Our kids, clearly, we all feel are a pawn in this game. I'm speaking from experience. When my daughter wanted to be an orthodontist since she was like three, she now wants to be a teacher because she wants a better teacher than what she's been given. I do not want to go back to distance learning. My daughter and my son both struggled with it. We go back, my son said he's going to work. My daughter wants a better teacher than what she was given last year because they didn't hold classes correctly. And they wanted to pin it on all the kids. It was their fault. They did this, they did that. I don't want to play these games anymore. Our kids need to be in school. They're not enjoying it because you're pitting the teachers and the kids against one another because this whole mask fiasco. Do not offer these shots to my kids on campus because they absolutely won't take them. I don't think that you guys have the authority to do that in the first place. This is not a doctor's office at all. They should not be having any kind of, what are they holding, vaccine clinics on campus? They shouldn't be doing that. Parents know if their kids need vaccines or not. We know that the COVID vaccine is out there. Sorry, it's not a vaccine, in my opinion. You should not be offering this on campus. My kids will not test either. Focus on their education. That's what we need to do. We need to stop trying to focus on COVID. Yes, it's here and it's here to stay. So is everything else that has disappeared magically because of COVID. I want my kids here enjoying their education, not worried every single day about how many COVID cases came back positive and counting down the numbers to, oh, are they gonna close our school down eventually when we get to a certain number? That's not okay. They need to be focusing on their grades. They need to be focusing on sports. They're very active in this school. I want this priority to be education. Take the vaccines, take the masks and get rid of them. We would like this put on the agenda so we can vote on it because I don't want this anymore. Clearly we are here, we're paying attention. We don't want this anymore. I don't know if the kids are allowed to come down here. Can we bring them down here and tell you what they're experiencing in school? Kids are passing out because of masks. Teachers are telling kids that they're dizzy in class because they're breathing in CO2. This needs to stop.
Now.
Thank you.
Next, we have Eric Mallow. Eric?
We've talked to you. We warned you. It's done. Affidavits are filed. They're on Wendell's desk. COVID, whether you want to believe it's real, I've already showed you the documented proof that it's a hoax. You don't want to believe that. You want to do any science on it. You want to muzzle kids. You can read a box. My sister's in the medical field. She'll tell you masks don't work. If you want to wear them, we're not going to down and brown you for it. Wear them. We fought for the freedom of this country, and I told you I'm going to fight for it again. And I'm done. We're not masking our kids anymore. We're not sending them down here. They're not getting vaccinated. Because I already told you there will be lawsuits. That's coming. I heard people talk about this ain't about freedom. It's about the health. Kids have a 99.98% survival rate from the flu. Because that's what it is. I'm done hearing about COVID. It's the flu. And that's really all I have to tell you. So I told you, your jobs are on the line, and it's happening. It's done. You will be served.
Thank you. Next we have is Seth Steeman. Seth?
My name is Seth Steeman. I'm a father to two small children, the oldest of which is six in the first grade. At the last board meeting, we heard from a teacher of four-year-olds from Kynock, and she's a coward. What an absolute disgrace. God forbid that teacher's anywhere near our children. To advocate once again keeping the children at home where they can't create bonds, to muzzle them, to advocate that we disallow them to use a drinking fountain when they're thirsty, to separate kids when they're eating is abhorrent, it's absurd. It's teaching our kids to fear one another and keeps them from feeling empathy towards one another. It is psychological abuse, the extent of which we do not yet know. God gave us faces for a reason. Any teacher or board member advocating such abuse's time is up. How dare a teacher impart their own fears and delusions on helpless children? Stay home in your fear bubble and away from our kids. Such a disgrace and disservice for our young ones who depend on us. Who willingly advocates depriving developing brains of oxygen? Why are we even entertaining this idea to such small children when there is zero data to constitute it? You all choose to breathe your own poisonous carbon dioxide with masks. How dare you enforce a lawless mandate on our children? You have no grounds to enforce it. I refuse to any more pander to fools, the weak, the delusional, the irrationally scared, and the sinister, especially when my children are the subject. In the last 2 years, look how much this world has changed. Look at the turmoil. You don't have to dig far to see the money trail and who's at play. This country is imploding, and you are facilitating it locally. Our patience for pandering and bureaucracy has ended. I'm a good father who has yet to see the end to the lengths I will go to protect my kids and my family. There are many more just like me who will bring this fight to you. You can test me on this. During April to October of 2020, emergency room visits linked to mental health problems for children aged 5 to 11 increased by 25% and by 31% for those ages 12 to 17 as compared to the same time period in 2019. During the month of June 2020, 25% of persons aged 18 to 24 in the U.S. reported suicidal ideation. This crime is what you're perpetuating, and as a father, I will hold you each responsible. Dr. Marguerite Greece-Brisson, one of Europe's leading neurophysiologists, is on record stating the rebreathing of our own exhaled air will without a doubt create oxygen deficiency and a flooding of carbon dioxide in the brain and blood, which causes the heart to overly work to increase oxygen flow. We know that the human brain is very sensitive to oxygen deprivation. There are neurons that cannot survive more than 3 minutes without an adequate supply of oxygen. Given that such cells are so sensitive to oxygen deprivation, their functionality must be affected by lower oxygen levels. Symptoms of mask wearing, headaches, dizziness, reduced ability to concentrate and cognitive function. Given that the development of neurodegenerative diseases can take years to develop, what are the disastrous effects of the use of masks, especially in children that you are illegally enforcing?
Thank you, Mr. Steeman. That is the end of your time. Thank you very much. Next, we have Rebecca Carlson. Rebecca?
Hey there. Master Randy, please, may I have 3 minutes? Please, Master Randy, 3 minutes just to speak. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm not as eloquent as a lot of these other people, and I don't have children, but I am just as fierce and as upset as they are. This is unbelievable. So the last nation that I was in was actually North Korea. Well, while I was there, I saw a number of different things. So I've seen communism, and one of the things that I saw was a performance that they did. All the children marched out. These are little children, and they marched in step. They did everything 100% correct, because you know why? If they didn't, they probably were beaten, tortured, or killed. That's why they did that. That's communism. I went to the Oregon performance in the world's largest stadium, North Korea. Everybody lockstep. This is what you're teaching these children in America. This is communism. And guess what? Not only do you have to stand and face these people, they're amazing, and this is just getting rolling. We're gathering an army, and we're out knocking on doors, and we will flood this place. Not only will you be held accountable here on earth, you will be held accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you, because guess what? You have been put in that chair for such a time as this. So you have two options in history. You can be on the right side, or you can be on the wrong side. And here's the thing. Reach down between your legs, gentlemen, find your nuts, and figure it out, okay? Because, hello, we are Americans. We know how to figure this out, right? Be the board that sets the pace for the nation. Be the board that says, we will stand and be courageous. We will take our place in history, and we will think outside the box, and we will say, we will not comply. It's that simple. It really is. Guess what? We don't need government money. We don't need you. We can teach our own kids. We can form neighborhood teachers associations. It's already happening. I'm just saying, get the fear of God in you, because this is communism, and if it doesn't stop, and as Americans, if we don't stand up, oh, I've smuggled Bibles into China. I've been arrested in China. It's coming, folks. It's not just coming. Hello, it's here. Look at you. Bow down. Bow down. Massa, massa, bow down. Bow down to the government. Somebody stand up. Get some courage in you.
So, I just want to say thank you again for all of our speakers for being respectful of each other and respectful of our time, so thank you. And Dr. Asrani, does the district have a plan that maybe we could try to help address some of these issues?
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Mr. Rasmussen. At this point of time, I do want to mention that we have created a task force to be able to listen to the comments from the parents. We absolutely respect the parents' comments here, and we want you to know that. But we also want to create an opportunity, because the public comments time doesn't allow the engagement that I think you're asking for. So with all respect, we want to start a conversation. Dr. Greco here has created a task force. He's invited some parents, some teachers, some of our community members to engage in understanding each of our perspectives on this issue. We would like to bring back to the board recommendations from the task force, which then allows you to engage in that conversation. Would that be something you would be happy with us doing?
So I think that would be a great idea. It sounds like what I heard. I have a really hard time hearing in this room, so. That the district is going to try to put together, or already has put together, a task force and trying to set up time or meetings to meet with y'all so you can have more of a dialogue between some of these topics. Is that...
Let me repeat. I'm sorry. I do have an accent, and I know the math does not help. So yes, Mr. Rasmussen, that's what I mentioned. We have created a task force with Dr. Greco in charge. He's already identified individuals, both from the group that's here today and from our district, who can meet together collaboratively, come up with a plan, and bring that back to the board. And I think that would allow the conversation to go beyond a one-sided comment to the board and a better understanding of the parameters that we are working under.
That sounds like a good idea to me. What does the rest of the board have thoughts on that?
Yes, who else, in addition to parents, is designed for the task force? One more time, could you?
Yes, the task force would include members of the audience that Mr. Greco has already reached out to. They have our teachers, our classified staff, our administration, and from the district and the site. So we can all really get together and understand this issue that we are facing together. I think it's very clear to our parents in the community that they believe that the board has a power to make these decisions. We want to make very clear that the directives for school districts come from the California Department of Education, the governor's office, and the CDPH. Unfortunately, the Board of Education, given the current mandates, does not have the ability to make individual decisions. So please allow the task force to do its work and bring to you a recommendation. You will have your say at that task force, and I hope you'll join us. It'll be a good opportunity to hear each other.
Yes.
We'll talk at the task force. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep. Well, here's an excellent opportunity. Pardon? Yes, I did, ma'am. I did. Well,
it's
okay. So okay, so, okay, thank you very much for being done. So it sounds to me like we do have maybe some folks that would be interested in a task force, and it seemed like maybe there would be some parents or some representatives out there that would like to attend. It doesn't mean you have to attend, but it sounds like the district is planning on reaching out, and if you want to be a part of that, then it sounds as though that those times and dates would be scheduled and you could participate. How would then?
Well, I don't know how. You can use this one, Joanna.
Okay, so Dr. Greco called me today and asked, we're in the middle of all this, all right? I haven't reached out to everybody because I don't have everybody's number. I would like to get together with you guys. We're not going to stand for what they want to do and follow all of this stuff. We're going to put together what we want to do as parents and present it to them, and then we can work together and try to have a meeting. So we got to, there's a process we have to go through. We got to give a little bit before we can go forward. We can't just count on, we got to give a little bit.
So, Dr. Greco?
So, right now I can tell you the meeting is tentatively scheduled for Monday from 3 to 5 p.m. Anyone who wants to come, we're more than welcome to. It gives us a chance to have a conversation. I don't imagine anyone will walk away completely happy from the meeting, but at least it gives us a chance to have a conversation about maybe some of the details that we're given from the state that you disagree with, and then us to hear some of the things, and hopefully to find some kind of compromise that at least gets us to a better place where we can focus on the education of the kids. So.
Okay, so it sounds like we have that set. Thank you very much. Next on the agenda item, we have correspondence to the district. A 6-minute presentation followed by board discussion. Correspondence to the district dated 8/18/21 from Joanna Lasaga regarding COVID testing, vaccines, and wearing a mask. So we do have 6 minutes, Joanna, that you can discuss those items, and then we could have afterwards, we'll have the interaction between the board.
So before you start your beloved clock on me, can anybody from the audience then comment on what I have to say or follow up with that? Or is it just me?
So when we get finished, are you asking if...
I'm gonna present to you something. Okay. And after I get done with that, will anybody from the audience be able to respond?
So if they're going to add to the discussion,
sure.
I see it would need to be within the 6 minute time limit.
Okay, because that's not explained, you know, on the agenda, I guess. So, I mean, I think people want to be heard, and unless you've got a hot date later on, I think you need to listen to people. I mean, I'm trying to help you guys, and we got to start somewhere.
Sure. Thank you.
So thank you for putting my request on the agenda. However, I am completely baffled at how little respect, Mr. Rasmussen, you have for the parents. I am tired of being placated by you. When I call, you appear to listen, and I honestly believe that the information I state goes out of your head just as fast as it goes in. To put my request as informational is a slap in my face. How dare you treat parents the way that you do? Do you forget that you are in an elected position? You are replaceable. And Mr. Rasmussen, your position is up in 22. I am formally asking that this item be put on the agenda as a movable item, not informational. I am being polite when I say I am asking you, but really I am telling you, as your boss, to put it on the agenda. Now, for the matter at hand, the school being used as a testing site is blatantly wrong and unconstitutional. The school is not a medical facility and needs to stop being used as one. Why is it so hard for you to understand that the parents should be the ones to take their kids to the doctor, not the school? The contact tracing that is happening is an absolute joke. Sometimes the tracings are days later. How effective is that? There have been times when one sibling has been contact traced, but the other sibling gets to go to school. Does that make sense? No. There's also another instance where one child tests positive and has to stay home for 10 days, while the sibling who tests negative has to stay home for 14 days. Does that make sense? No. This is wrong. It's very wrong. You are contact tracing my children. This is absolute bullshit. You are disrupting and manipulating all of these children, and the very thing you were elected to do, that is to educate our children. If all of these supposed guidelines are coming down from the state, then why is it that Yuba City Unified and other school districts have different guidelines? Why can they use home tests but MJUSD cannot? If this virus is transmitted through the air, then why can't these kids and teachers test via saliva? If this COVID situation is about an actual pandemic, then why are the rules ever changing? The board has the discretion to make the rules as they see fit. But they need to be voting on issues the way their constituents want. Have you ever spoken to your constituents other than me? Or better question would be, have you spoken to any of your non-union constituents? As to the mask mandate, I reiterate, it is just a mandate. It is not law. A mandate does not force anyone to do anything. It is a mere suggestion. We are demanding that you stop enforcing this mask mandate. We have children whose parents took their kids to the doctor because their throats were so inflamed with and filled with pus that they thought for sure their children had strep throat. But guess what? They tested negative. It was all caused by wearing the masks. That's a doctor's kid, too, by the way. How is it healthy? I mean, does this stuff really make sense anyway? You can't wear a mask when you eat, but you have to wear it the rest of the time. Does the Chinese virus get suppressed when you eat or drink? The kids have to wear a mask in one class, but not the other. Or when outside, they don't have to wear it, but when they're walking in the halls and they're closer to one another than in the classroom. What about the little kids? Have you thought about them switching masks? How safe is that? Have you looked at the damage this has caused to the children emotionally, physically, and mentally? What happened to your common sense? The whole thing is ridiculous and needs to stop. As to the vaccine, I really don't care if you want to take it or not. That's personal preference. But that's not what this is about. Did you know that when we take our kids to the doctor after the age of 12, we as parents no longer get to talk to the doctor about them? We don't get to be the ones making the decisions about them. So how is it that the school gets to find out about their shots when I as a mother do not? Find anything wrong with that? Let's look at it from a larger view. What if your daughter wanted to get on birth control or have an abortion at the age of 15? Would you be okay without knowing anything about it? Can you honestly sit in front of a mirror and look yourself in the eye and say, yeah, I'm okay with that? I seriously doubt it. You are not the parents of these children, and you need to stop playing doctor and start playing educator, because that is what you were elected to do. Having a bus show up at the school to play catch up with vaccines is, again, absolutely ludicrous. Again, who do you think you are? After attending the BOS this morning, Supervisor Vasquez stated that passing the resolution would be removing the catch-up clinics. You know that no other schools have those? Just MJUSD. Did you know that? Now we have we have to ask you guys to remove those. So I'm asking the board to remove those. Let them take the kids to the doctor. So I ask each and every one of you, if this were your child or grandchild, would you feel the same? Since when did the school become doctors? The statistics of people being harmed after taking the vaccine or dying from it is climbing rapidly. Even the top FDA officials are leaving their job due to the uneasiness about the vaccine. They are creating booster shot after booster shot. Where does all of this stop? Let me tell you where. It doesn't. So all of these items I've been discussing, the masks, the vaccines, the health protocols, are all protected by our unalienable rights, which means they cannot be given away or taken away. So making these children go through all this is violating their rights. They are unconstitutional.
Thank you, Joanna. Comments from board members? Questions?
Yeah, Joanna, I didn't understand what you said. You wanted MJUSD to remove what?
The COVID buses or whatever it is where you're getting the catch-up clinics.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't understand it.
No, that's okay. As you near the time, the end, then I talk faster.
Joanna, does the district have any responsibility to provide safety to the kids?
Depends on what your definition of safety is. Because safety for my children is not wearing a mask. Safety for other people may be wearing a mask.
Should our buses stop at railroad crossings?
Do not imply that I'm ignorant, all right? Because I'm not. Absolutely, they should stop at
a
railroad crossing.
Okay, thank you.
The thing about this, Randy, this whole thing, if you look at it, and I don't mean to talk politics, but when you look at this, there's a huge division between Democrats and Republicans' views on this, and it shouldn't be. This, especially within this area. I am very political, but this is not the place for it, and it is. It's happening right here, and you need to stop that. We need to concentrate on what our kids are learning. You know, I thought about having my daughter and my son. I won't repeat what my son had to say, which... One of you two, I don't know which one, he's been to your house, and I'm sure you know what kind of a smartass he is. But I was going to have them time how long does the teacher saying, put on your mask, go to the office, you need to do this, in regards to this whole COVID mess, how much time is actually being taken away in the classroom because of that? When you take that all away and let them concentrate on their education, that's all we're asking for. And I don't think it's too much. If the kids want to wear it, I mean, you don't know. We all have personal reasons. And someone can stand up here and tell me I need to take the vaccine, but you don't know my health issue. I'm being advised not to. So I can't take it. I've struggled since 2008 to get right with what my health issue is, and I finally dialed it in, and I am not about to go take a vaccine. And that's my personal choice, as it should be all of yours. As should the masks, as should all of it.
Because these masks are making them sick.
Should it be the bus driver's own choice to stop at the railroad tracks or not?
There's statistics. When you look at the statistics, as far as the bus being hit on the railroad tracks and an accident happening there, you can equate that to whether they should stop or not. When you look at whether or not this mask actually stops a virus, then you look at that statistic. You're comparing apples and oranges, and that's not the same thing.
Thank you. But we never know if a train's coming or not. Thank you. Any other comments or questions from board members?
Just a quick question here. I believe the district does not employ COVID buses per se. I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I've got the wrong information, but those buses were provided by the Yuba County Public Health Department that was contracted.
Fire her, Dr. Liu, fire that.
I aside from that, that was from a different organization rather than us, and I believe the intent was to, like, the Tdap and the MMR and those things, those are pretty serious, and those vaccines are way more effective than other vaccines, per se. I understand your point, but I again.
So my understanding is that the clinics are put on by the public health, utilizing public health nurses.
I believe so.
Correct. But so can anybody just walk on your campus?
No, they have They're to be invited.
They have to be invited. Yes. So disinvite them.
Simple solution, but again, yes. The intent behind it was because we had this whole year of being on lockdown and these kids were not getting the vaccinations that they were needed. They were trying to catch up with that. It is parents' choice. I totally agree 110%. Whether you're vaccinated or not is none of my business. That's personal choice. If you want to wear a mask, please do if that's what you want to do. Okay? I support everybody in doing all of that. Let me ask you this. Raise your hand if you voted today. I'm hoping that a lot of this nonsense goes away in a couple of hours. I'm hoping. I have a feeling if things go the way I think they're going to go, this nonsense, we won't have to worry about this much. Is it politicized? Yes, it's been over-politicized, and that is wrong. For the record, I believe all of us up here are taking a lot of heat for whatever reasons, but I believe, and I'm just speaking for my peers here, we're all in it for our kids. If we're not in it... That's what I'm trying to do, sir. Yes. I'm not bringing any politics into this game. There's no voting. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the issue of this mandate coming down from the government. I put my hand on a Bible, and I swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution when I got sworn in for this seat. I have a duty, as do these people here, to follow the law. If the law says, now wait, I know it's coming, I know that mandate word is coming. If the law says we have to do it.
The law is not a law. Anything against the Constitution is null and void.
You're right, but there's one more thing, I get it, there's one more thing I want to throw out there that I'm not quite sure, because I haven't heard anybody say this yet, so I don't know if you guys know this or not. If I vote to get rid of masks, I could be held personally liable. I can get sued. I could lose my house, my car. Now, I'm not saying that my house is worth somebody's life. That's I'm not talking about that argument. Additionally, If I vote yes and the district gets rid of it, and God forbid, one of our kids gets sick and dies, guess what? Now we're open to lawsuits. We're open to lawsuits.
Well,
very few. But I totally understand what you're saying, but I'm not going to roll dice with anybody's kids. But wait, wait, wait. I have an idea.
Could we please? Could we? Okay, so
I have a possible solution if you want to listen to me. Real quick, please, Randy. I have not heard anybody talk about a waiver. I think that would be an answer to a lot of solutions. If
I do think it would be if the board members could direct your questions to Mrs. Lasaga, because she's the one that's on the agenda, I think would be most appropriate.
And Ms. Lasaga, I'm sorry, your son, I'm not interrupting, I'm trying to direct
Jared.
My comment. Your son and my son are friends, apparently,
yeah.
Or something? Okay, I'm not aware of it. Kids are coming and going all the time,
no,
I don't
that's
know.
Fine.
So, if are you willing to sign a waiver for your child to come to school saying, hey, if my kid gets sick and dies, I'm not going to sue the school district?
Absolutely, but let me ask you this.
I would sign the same document.
Legally, If a child went to the bubble, stayed in a bubble, all right, it's only let out in a vehicle that's been disinfected, that has been every day, right? So last night, you wake up in the morning, and that vehicle was disinfected last night. The child gets in it by itself. Let's just say they're 16 and they can drive by themselves. Then they drive to school, all right? And they don't wear their masks, they go straight home, and they get back into the bubble, then they could sue you. They cannot prove at all that somebody got it from school unless they are living in a bubble. There are so many things out here. I got a little bit of, 20-something years in the legal profession. I know a little bit about it. You have to. I get where you are. Nobody wants to be sued. Nobody wants to be held liable for this. But at some point, we have our freedoms. And we're not saying that this kid has to wear the mask or doesn't get to wear the mask when he wants to. That's not what we're asking. We're asking for the choice to be wearing a mask, the choice not to. And so, Mr. Rasmussen, the kids on the bus don't get the choice if the bus driver does or doesn't stop. So your analogy is moot. These kids with the mask get a choice. So when they're walking in the halls and they're closer to each other, it's just illogical, the things that are happening. You get these, 13, 14, 15-year-old boys running around outside with a mask on or playing in the gym with a mask on, and my kid's like breathing hard and having an issue. How do you... You've got a son the same age. How do you justify that? These kids need this mask, and that's all we're asking is for the reasonableness of it. Please do not force it. Now, my kid's a straight A student, and she gets called out by the teacher and has to go to the office. She comes back and she tells me this man's mask, it's one of the blue ones, it's literally the same mask he's been wearing all day. It is, there's quag dripping out of the bottom of it. He lifts it up and you see the crap on it, takes a bite of pizza, puts it back down. It's absolutely disgusting. And how sanitary is that?
So it's not like you can monitor this. On the box of these blue COVID masks, it says, they don't say it now. When you look at the old time, they say that it doesn't work against COVID. So there's a whole lot of discrepancies. There's this view and that view. There's this that works. There's people that like this vaccine or that people have died from this or that. I'm not saying do all the research and find that out. All I'm asking is for you to give them that choice to wear it or not. Stop making them wear it and let them have a choice and let them learn. That's all I'm asking.
Mr. Russ, we need to direct it to, we're going to try to make it follow protocols and keep it, the questions coming to Mrs. Lasagas.
Yes, I do.
Are there waivers in Maryville Joint Unified School District or in the state of California that a kid does not have to have that vaccination to be able to go to school?
Yes, there are.
Where's your proof? I don't believe
it's filed.
From a doctor.
From a doctor. I have health issues that travel down to my children, and they cannot be. I don't go around telling everybody this because I don't want the people to look at my children like they're. Yeah, it's none of their business.
Are there any other questions or comments from board members to Mrs. Lasagas? Thank you very much, John.
Thank you.
Next, we have updates from the business services. Mrs. Lasagas, or Jennifer?
It's not the presentation. This is a brief update to the board. Oh, sorry.
I'm not doing the presentation. My update's going to be this evening with the unaudited actuals presentation. So that's my business services update.
Okay, thank you. That's it.
So are we not doing updates? Are we doing updates?
Yeah. So just a quick update from Educational Services. So at the end of the year, last year, it was very difficult to get all of our testing done. But for LPAC testing, we were able to get through it. We've already had over 50 redesignations this year. So that's 50 kids who have showed their fluency in English and been able to be redesignated. We have another 139 that we're hoping to redesignate over the next few weeks as we go through that process. So that and all the initials is being completed right now. And then finally, just from Educational Services, we'd like to thank Jessica Guth for the last year and a half of overseeing everything COVID. As we've seen, it can be very contentious. And she's done an amazing job of trying to keep a balance and keep everything running. And so just a big thank you to Jessica for her work on COVID thus far.
Thank you. Next we have, so business services was up first. Were we not doing that? Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Next we have personnel services. Mr. Carrion.
Good evening. I simply want to begin and lead off with Child Development Program to inform you that this amazing program that has established the foundation for our children have 340 students within its program. I want to remind you, too, that despite the lower numbers this year, they are working through a hold harmless situation where they will be able to honor their contracts and ensure that funding is consistent and subsequent into the future years. But more importantly, those 340 children across all child development spanning years from 0 to 5, and we tend to forget that our child development program is not just focused on preschoolers, it's 0 to 5. So they're doing an incredible job preparing our youngsters, the children, and establishing a foundation for a wonderful education. Secondly, I wanted to bring your attention that we've hired 110 classified employees through the course of the summer. Yes, there are some vacancies, and we'll continue to scour and ensure that we find the best resources for our services and programs that are out there. In addition to that, we've hired 71 certificated employees. And ultimately, while there are vacancies, we continue as best we can to ensure that the best qualified people are in place to ensure that our students get the best education that we possibly can. Lastly, near your person there, I placed a copy of a billboard. Wanted you to bring your attention that the district has taken an extra step. We've advertised using the billboard facsimile that you have there. Starting yesterday, we have been raised, if you will, on 10 different billboards throughout Yuba and Sutter counties. Don't want to start a turf war, but it just so happened that many of the available billboards are in Sutter County. But they are in strategic locations, and we want to encourage that folks who want to be part of educational foundations for children can start their careers here in Marysville. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carrion. Dr. Azrani?
I want to start off by saying thank you for the opportunity to be part of this community. It has been a very busy but very informative 10 days. Today is my 10th day. I've already visited 9 schools, had a tremendous opportunity to see Lyndhurst football game, spent a lot of time walking campuses and really seeing the excellent work that's going on. I want to thank our teachers. This is not a very easy time, and our classified staff, and then our custodial staff, our nutritional services, everybody, the office staff, principals. I mean, if you just see the commitment, it just makes you smile. And I wanted to show that to you and share that with you. We really have a dedicated team across the district and at the district office. I have an excellent cabinet. I'm honored to work with them. I do also want to say that I've been seeing very happy teachers and happy students. I've really seen teachers teaching and the kids just enjoying within the parameters that we have to operate in. We have a very busy year in front of us, and one thing that I've heard is that teachers and our principals really have a lot of ideas. Our Ed Services team, our fiscal team, our HR chief has a lot of aspirations for doing what's right for our students. So right now we're getting ready to roll up our sleeves and take those ideas and make them into actions and bring them to fruition. And finally, I'd just like to end by saying that I would like to give a shout out to retired Superintendent Sinner. He has made the transition very smooth. He's left very clear directions and has been an excellent professional partner to work with while I've been moving into this position. And so I'm just thrilled to be part of this community. I have been able to move into Yuba City, finally found a place to rent for those of who have been worrying about where am I staying. So I'm excited. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And again, we'll work together to make this the best district it can be. So thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have the approval of minutes. Minutes from the special board meeting of 8/19/21. Absent was Frank Crawford and Doug Criddle. Is there any discussion regarding those minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Hastie. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstention.
Abstained by Trustee Doug Criddle. Minutes from the regular board meeting of 8/24/21. Is there any discussion regarding those minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Boom. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Doug Criddle. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Any abstentions?
Abstention.
One abstention from Trustee Gary Criddle. Next, we have the consent agenda. Are there any items on the consent agenda that a board member would like to have pulled? Not hearing any, I will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve the consent by Trustee Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Boom. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, 6 yes. Going on to new business. Page 10, Educational Services, Resolution 2021-22/08, Availability of Textbooks and Instructional Materials. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board set a public hearing to approve the resolution on the availability of textbooks and instructional materials for the 2021-22 school year. The proposed public hearing is set for 9/28/21. Is there any discussion on setting that? Do we need a motion for that, Lisa? No. Okay, so the public hearing is set for 9/28/21. Nutritional Services, Resolution 2021-22/09, National School Lunch Week. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the resolution proclaiming 10/8/21 through 10/15/21 as National School Lunch Week. Is there any discussion on that? Not hearing any. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Was that Doug Criddle? By Doug Criddle. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Hasty. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, 6 yes. Personnel Services, 2020-21 Initial Bargaining Proposals from CSEA number 326 to MJUSD. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board hold a public hearing to introduce the initial bargaining proposal from the California School Employees Association, CSEA number 326, to the MJUSD for the 2020-21 school year. Public hearing is now open. Do we have any comments from staff regarding that? No discussion from staff? Any public comments for the public hearing? Not hearing any, we'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion to close.
Motion to close the public hearing by Gary Criddle. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Boom. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, 6 yes. Item number 2, new position, instructional data coordinator. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the new job description and position entitled instructional data coordinator. Mr. Carrion?
Yes, thank you. As certainly explained within the agenda item, the alignment of services, the alignment of ensuring that the educational model and the educational program is aligned throughout. It's an integral component to ensure that the data is collected. And yes, as stated earlier, the data is mined, but also to determine the direction and that using the assessments and to guide instruction, both from an individual perspective and also from a whole class and, of course, district perspective. We need to ensure that there's alignment from top to bottom. And a lot of that is driven by data and the dedicated person that ultimately will ensure that school sites, as well as the district office, that supports the drive and ultimately the direction. Again, the alignment is what's crucial. Someone dedicated specifically and solely for this service is what we're asking for here. And so with that in mind, while it is want to bring attention to you, the fiscal impact, that includes all statutory benefits. And so the salary may be lower on the starting end, but when you account for statutory benefits and the health and welfare benefits of the position, of course, it's going to be reflected as a much more expensive position. But again, the service is needed, and we'd recommend the board approve the position as presented.
Can I make one clarification?
Please.
This position is only a three-year position. It's a three-year position. As soon as the COVID fund, ESSER III funds that ends in 2024. This position ends in 2024. There's no fiscal impact, ongoing fiscal impact to general funds, and this position has specifically been designed to support our principals and our teacher leaders during this time when we're looking at learning gaps and looking at learning loss of children. We do not have such a specific position at this time in the district.
So Angela, this is not a public hearing, so I'm not going to recognize you. Do board members have comments or questions from Mr. Karen?
Yes, sir, I do. I was looking at the description and noticing with the salary range and the title, typically that would have a candidate that would be at least have a clear administrative credential, but it's not listed on here. Is there a reason for that or your thought behind that?
No, if anything, it would be an oversight, but it does not necessarily require an administrative credential unless they're going to be supervising and evaluating other certificated employees.
So this person would be working directly for one of the department heads or chairs?
Yes.
Okay.
And so just correction that we would want that person to have a certificated administrative credential. So this is going to be a person who's going in. So as you've heard from other people, there's a lot of people that have gone to PLCs. We have a lot of the pieces in place. So the ability to have the data is there. What we haven't done is build out a system to be able to actually mine and utilize that data. So this person would be coming in for that short term of 3 years in order to be able to, one, use all of the new diagnostic tools to be able to help the PLCs that are working at the school sites to identify the gaps to be able to work to help close those for students. Two, to help build out in Aries all of our analytics capabilities. So there's dashboards and the ability to mine data in a much quicker way to make it easier for administrators. So this person is essentially coming onto the team to help the administrative side and then down into the PLCs of the teachers learn how to fish so that once they're gone, we're able to continue that process. But this is the initial build out, someone with the time dedicated to make sure it gets built out, that we're holding administrators accountable to using the data and that we're using that to drive instruction so that we don't see the small incremental gains and losses that we've historically had across the district. This would make it so that we're gonna see hopefully gains across the district whole because we learn from each other through best practices and looking at the data.
Okay.
President Rasmussen. Would this be the administrator's schedule? Teachers work 183 days, is my understanding. How many days would this person be expected to?
As a coordinator, it'd be 210 work days, minimum.
Okay. Are there questions, comments?
Yeah, I have a quick question. So is it written in their contract that after 3 years, they're done? I mean, it's not gonna come back before the board in 3 years to extend it?
It's written into the contract that it is valid from 2021 to 2024. And it's specifically addressing one of the criteria in the ESSER-3 funds, which is to address the learning loss for students. And that's specifically how it's even provided in ESSER funding, that districts are obligated to do what they can to address the gap. To answer your question, therefore, it's meeting the requirements of the ESSER-3 direction to help students with the learning loss. So yes, it's written as a 3-year. It ends in 2024. Now, whether it'll come back after that or not would have to depend on whether this position at the end of 3 years is determined to be so invaluable that there's another level of expertise we're going for. But the task right now, the accountability, is to make sure we support our principals and our teachers to address the learning gaps of children who have technically suffered immensely due to the COVID disruption.
So I know not last year, but thinking about our dashboard and our improvements from our children with language arts and math, has the district been improving much at all in the last few years? If we're thinking on it from a dashboard standpoint?
So
Dr. Greco?
So if you look at the incremental growth of the district, the last year that we had data in 2019, we did make growth in all areas. That growth was in the 1% range or so. If you look at the general district as a whole, so 37% ELA proficiency and around 27% math, if you look at that over the past like decade, and I know we've changed systems of monitoring, the proficiency rates have stayed relatively flat. So you'll get areas where we have growth and then loss. And so it happens, and you'll see these pockets where we get improvement, and then the improvement seems to die away. So what we believe is people are working very, very hard to make that happen. We need to put a better system in place to support what they're doing and drive that with data in order to make that growth not something that's over time just slow and happens in small places, but that's universal across the district. So it doesn't matter if I go to Covalod or Linda or the foothills, I'm going to see that same growth moving through the system because we're looking at data in the same way.
So then the hope would be that by looking at this data and coming up with strategic plans for each individual site, that we could hopefully see an improvement in student growth?
Correct.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
Yeah, I've got one quick comment. You know, I understand where you're coming from, and I understand there's probably a need, but my conscience just doesn't let me do this. We've added, what, $3.8 million on our LCAP last year. We keep adding positions. We're still negotiating with teachers. We've got people in this district 25 years that don't make half this money. So my conscience just doesn't let me do this. So that's why I'm going to vote no on it.
I'd like another comment. I think there's some value in the position for sure, but based upon looking at this and where we are for fiscal and what we talked about with our fiscal review, I almost want to actually suggest or propose that we table this until we can figure out where we are fiscally and then disclose that with transparency. Just saying.
I would actually second that, and Dr. Israni, not to put you on the spot or anything, you're just coming to the party. I also am hesitant about hiring any new positions, especially with one-time COVID money. I don't want to be the person in 3 years to say, no, we're not renewing your position. And that's taking food off of somebody's table. And that will sit heavy with me. I don't want to do that. But this is needed. We do need some kind of data collection. I know that our teachers are collecting data, but like I heard also before that they're working 40 hours a week. How are they going to collect data district-wide, let alone in their classrooms? And that's where this position, I see the intent in that of collecting data-wide, or district-wide data, rather. But also to let you have a chance to get your bearing, and not that you haven't, you're doing a phenomenal job, by the way. Just a little bit more time to really fine-tune and look at this. Yes, look at the budgets and see, maybe we can fine-tune this and tweak this a little bit better so that's a little bit more acceptable on both sides of the fence.
So, Trustee Doug Criddle, are you making a motion to table this?
Yes, I'd be happy to make a motion to table this discussion until after we just find out what further findings we look at on the fiscal in the next within the next month.
And then are you recommending a time to bring this back to the board?
I think after we go through discovery, within 4 to 6 weeks after that would be fine.
So at one of the board meetings in October, is that what you're saying?
That probably should be back, yes.
So we have a motion to table this until, can you tell me what your motion again is?
To table the hiring or acceptance of hiring, a motion to hire this position of an instructional data coordinator until, and I don't have know what date it is in October, but if we can push it to the last part of October, that might be okay.
Okay, so we have a motion to table this item until the end of October. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Hasty. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any noes? One no. Rasmussen. Thank you very much, Mr. Carrion. Item number 3, Side letter agreement with MUTA, Independent Studies. Purpose of the agenda item is request the board approve the side letter agreement, SLA, between the Marysville Joint Unified School District and the Marysville Teachers Association, MUTA. Mr. Carrion?
Yes, thank you. I want to begin explaining this specific agenda item by thanking the Marysville Unified Teachers Association, in particular, the three leadership leaders who understood our need to get this done and were willing to meet repetitively, collaboratively, and their contribution level to this to help generate a succinct and ultimately, publication-ready side letter that was meeting the needs of both sides, both parties, and it really didn't feel like they're across the table and we're across the table. The collaboration was genuine and sincere, and I just want a shout out to them, appreciate their efforts and appreciate their work throughout the four plus sessions that we had over this. To that end, this satisfies ultimately in its implementation and our need to ensure that students receive the best instruction possible when they're not necessarily in person in that school, and satisfies most of the components outlined in Assembly Bill 130, and it designates two types of independent study and how to address these students as they embark and try to continue their education. It does have a financial impact of approximately $1.8 million, but we recommend that the board approve this SLA, not to be confused with the Sudanese Liberation Army, and move forward with this implementation.
Board members, questions or comments? I do want to say one of the comments when I was reading the side letter, and it talks about the unit members, and I got clarification from Dr. Osrani that when we're talking about unit members, it doesn't have to be teachers that belong to the union. It would be all teachers. So if this side letter is approved, it's for all teachers, not just unit members. So my other thought on this particular item is I just see my concern is that it's putting a lot of weight on our site administrators, and so that's one item that concerns me about it. And the other item that concerns me is that I would have rather seen all of this negotiation personally take place at one particular time instead of just a side letter. So this is my comment. Any other comments from board members? Questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Boom. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Rasmussen's opposed. Five yes, one no.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carrion. Next, we have the business services. Item one, designate to sign warrants, contracts, and other documents. The purpose of the agenda item is request the board approve the updated list of the following designees to sign the warrant, contracts, and other documents. Paul Osrani, Superintendent, Romero Carrion, Assistant Superintendent, Personnel Services, Jennifer Pisaya, Chief Business Official. Any discussion? Entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Boom. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Doug Griddle. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 6 yes. Resolution 2021-22/10, designation of a representative and an alternate to the School Insurance Group Joint Powers Board. The purpose of the agenda item is request the board to approve the resolution authorizing Jennifer Pisaya, Chief Business Official, as a representative to the School Insurance Group SIG Joint Powers Board, and Dr. Fall Osrani, Superintendent, as the alternate. Any discussion? We'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Hastie. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Gary Criddle. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, 6 yes. Item number 3, the 2020-21 unaudited actual financial report. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board review and approve the 2020-21 unaudited actuals financial report. Mrs. Jennifer?
Good evening. Good evening, President Rasmussen, fellow trustees, and Superintendent Asrani. It's my pleasure to present to you this evening the 2021 unaudited actuals. The budget is a living document that we adjust throughout the year. We began in June when we adopted the 21, when we proposed the 21-22 LCAP and budget, and then in July we enacted that proposed budget, and now here we are in September presenting the 2021 unaudited actuals. We'll come back in December with the first interim report for the 21-22 fiscal year, and then in January we'll hear what the governor proposes for the 22-23 fiscal year. In March, you'll see us again with the second interim report, and then we'll begin working on in April, the LCAP and budget for the 22-23 school year, and then in May, we'll hear the May revise, and we'll start this process all over again. Before I get started, I'd like to do a big shout out to the fiscal department. They worked really hard over the summer closing the books. And I also want to give a certain big thank you to our new fiscal director, Cindy Helms, and our supervisor, Amy Littlefield. They put in countless hours and days to close the books. It's much appreciated. At the adoption of the 21-22 budget in June, we brought forward the estimated actuals for 2021. This evening, we're going to present to you the actual financial statements, which we call the unaudited actuals. This slide is a comparison of the revenues for the total general fund, unrestricted and restricted. This is a comparison of unaudited actuals in column A and the estimate we made in the June column B. The total variance is a decrease of $25.5 million in revenues. The decrease is due to our LCFF prior year adjustments, federal decrease and state revenue decrease for planned carryover and unearned revenue in our COVID relief and Title I funds. Here's a pie graph of our actual revenues and for our total general fund, and you can see that 70% of our revenues are generated from our local control funding formula. Total general fund unrestricted and restricted actual expenditures closed the year with a decrease or a savings of $18.6 million. The $18.6 million savings is due to unspent COVID relief funds, savings in our various departments, and planned site carryover. Another pie chart to show our expenditures. You can see that our certificated, classified, and salaries and benefits all total about 70% of our total expenditures. Here is a summary of our total ending general fund balance as of June 30th, 2021. It reflects a $6.9 million decrease from estimated actuals. The $6.9 million decrease is comprised of $9.3 million increase in our unrestricted funds and a decrease of $16.2 in our restricted funds. The unrestricted variance is due to carryover for targeted allocations, one-time projects that are in progress, site discretionary, such as our lottery, department and position savings due to COVID-19, and savings and contributions to our restricted maintenance and special education. And then with our restricted, the 16.2 is really contributed to our unearned revenue and our title and our COVID-19 funds. This slide here is a component of our ending fund balance, and you can see this what the $62.9 million is comprised of. It's our revolving cash of $30,000, our stores inventory of about $900,000, our restricted balances of $11 million, our reserve for economic uncertainty in $4 million. We have some committed funds for other post-employment benefits, about $1 million, and then we have other assignments at about $28 million, and we have an unassigned, unappropriate amount of $18 million. And that $18 million really represents about 2 months of our payroll. Our next steps, we're going to bring to you the ESSER III expenditure plan by October 29th for your approval. We'll have a plan in place to spend our federal and state one-time restricted funds. Those have various due dates, as you can see on the slide. We did get a couple extensions for our in-person instruction grant and our expanded learning opportunities to August 2024. And then we'll see you again in December for our 2021 first interim budget, or 21-22 first interim budget. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Jennifer.
I got one quick question, Jennifer.
Okay.
A lot of years we end up with a budget savings at the end of the year. Is there any way to anticipate that or any way to look at it, or is
yes.
it just something that just happens?
No, it shouldn't just happen. When we do our estimated actuals, we really should be taking a deep dive into our budget and looking at where we really estimate what we're going to spend. You know, I hate to keep blaming COVID, but we've had a couple weird years, so it's a little hard to predict in the 2021 year how much we were going to spend, especially going back to hybrid in-person instruction. We didn't know what those costs were going to entail. Mm-hmm.
Other questions?
Yeah, the one question I have is out of that reserve, whatever you're showing for your balance, how much of that is reoccurring money?
None of the reserve is reoccurring money. It's all one-time monies. It's like a savings account.
Other questions? Thank you very much, Jennifer. That was enlightening. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Gary Criddle. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, 6 yes. Resolution 2021-22/11, adoption of the 2021-22 GAN limit and 2020-21 recalculations. The purpose of the agenda items requests the board approve the resolution adopting the district's 2021-22 and 2020-21 recalculated GAN limits. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Boom. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Davis. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Or any nays? Motion carries, 6 yes. That's our last item on the agenda. Meeting adjourned.